Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome back to those of you who were here last night. I'd like to briefly mention to those of you who are listening in on the internet that we tried to broadcast last night, but we had some technical difficulties and it didn't work. But we were able to fix it thanks to the help of David Beatty. And so today, now we are live on the air. For the sermonette, brethren, I'd like to discuss a scripture which has caused some uncertainties and some maybe confusion over the years. And this scripture can be found in the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 14 to 16. In the book of James, chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, James is asking the question, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I want to first of all focus on this statement James is talking about here, the prayer of faith, as we read about that in verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, I submit to you that this includes, all of this includes the prayer of the sick person, the prayer of the anointing elder, and the prayer of the entire congregation, at least when it's being announced to the congregation to pray for such a person. To focus then on the role of the congregation to begin with, one danger is, of course, that we would start to judge the sick person if he or she is not healed right away by saying, well, he or she must not have enough faith, or the person must not have enough faith because he or she went to a doctor after having been anointed, as if it were a question of having faith or going to a doctor. So we in the congregation have to be very careful that we don't fall into that trap of judging and condemning the sick person. But you see, we read something else in verse 15, and that is, if he has committed sins, that is not talking about the sick individual, he will be forgiven. If he has committed sins. The word here for sin or sins is hamartia in the Greek, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A, hamartia. This is the most common word used in the New Testament. It's used about 175 times. And it's commonly used and translated as sin, as it is here in this translation. So this passage is telling us that if the sick person has committed sins, he will be forgiven upon repentance. So we are being told that not every sickness is the result of sin of the sick person, because it says if he has committed sins. Now, sin may be a cause, but it doesn't have to be. Again, making clear then to all of us that we have to be careful not to judge a person when he or she is sick. The Living Bible translates this phrase as follows. If his sickness was caused by some sin, the Lord will forgive him. So as I said, in the congregation, we should be very careful not to judge the sick person by saying he or she must have sins, that's why he or she is sick. Now let's turn now to verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed." Confess your trespasses to one another. Now it is interesting that here another responsibility of the people in the congregation is pointed out, not just a responsibility of the sick person. The King James Bible translates here "false" for the word trespass. The NIV and the RSV say "sin" here as well, but that's a very poor, as a matter of fact, an incorrect translation, because the word here for trespass in the Greek is an entirely different word than the word we just read about in the previous verse. ziehe not hamartia, but the word here is paraptoma, a totally different Greek word. It's spelled P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A, paraptoma. And this word is only used 20 times in the entire New Testament. And the New King James Bible, which I'm reading from here, translates this word 6 times with offense, 2 times with fall, 1 time with sin, unfortunately. But in the overwhelming majority of the cases, it is translated with trespasses, as it is translated here in the book of James, with trespasses. And the New King James Bible translates this word 12 times with trespasses. I'd like to turn to a scripture here in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, where both phrases and both words are used. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul is telling us, "You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So both words are used, the word for trespass, paroptoma, and the word for sin, hamartia. But since both words are used, and since Paul is saying that Christ has made us alive, who were dead in both trespasses and sins, there got to be a difference. It cannot be the identical concept, otherwise the Bible would be stuttering here. Now, what is the difference between those two words? Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 14. And here Christ is telling us, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you," and of course the idea is your trespasses. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And in both cases, of course, the words used in the Greek are hamartia. Go to chapter 18, verse 34. 18, 34, and 35. "Should you," not also verse 33, "had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." Here was, of course, a person who was not willing to forgive a debt which somebody else had incurred to him, although he received forgiveness and forgiveness of debt from his master. But now Christ is using this example, and he says in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Again, the same word being used here, hamartia. I quickly want to turn to the parallel scripture here in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, where again Christ is making the same point. Mark 11, 25. "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." So we see then, by the way, I want to clarify, in this case, of course, the word here is trespasses, so it's not used the word hamartia in the Greek. I misspoke myself. That's, of course, the word paraptoma. Paraptoma is used in all these passages where the word trespass is translated. So we see then that paraptoma mainly describes trespasses against another person. When a brother or a sister commits a trespass against us and comes to us in repentance, saying, "I am sorry," we must forgive such a person. If we don't do that, God will not forgive us our trespasses which we have committed against others. Now, how would you define trespass? Well, check it in a dictionary, that's what they are saying. Trespass is any offense done to another person. To intrude offensively. To pass the bounds of propriety. To injure another. Now, if you go back to the scripture in James chapter 5 and verse 16, we are being told here that we must confess these trespasses one to another. We are to accept the fact that we have committed trespasses against another person, if in fact we have, and we are to go to our brother or to our sister when we have offended them and ask for forgiveness, and we thereby obtain forgiveness from the offended party. But you see, James is saying that if that happens, then our prayers, one for another, can be heard by God, because then we appear before God in righteousness. And of course, as we know, we need to be righteous if we want our prayers to be heard. We just read that, the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This means, then, that we are to have peace amongst ourselves, no divisions, no dissensions, no grudges, no talking behind people's backs, no imputing motives, no feelings of I am better, holier than thou, no condemning, no jealousy. Problems which cause bad blood must be eliminated. You see, James tells us that to confess our trespasses one to another means that the offender confesses his trespasses to the offended person, asking for forgiveness, so that all hate, anger, strife, contentions disappear, so that a harmonious environment can be established, in that God can work, in that God can answer the prayers of the people for healing and for other benefits. You see, Paul is addressing the same concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 29. And he is talking about, of course, the Passover service. And he's saying in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now he says here that there were people in the church who were sick and weak among the brethren because they didn't discern the body of Christ, and as a consequence they partook of the Passover in an unworthy manner. Now I'm preparing a sermonette on this particular issue all by itself. Let me say right now that they partook of the Passover in an unworthy manner because they showed in their daily lives, by living unworthily, that they really didn't care about Christ's sacrifice. And one way of showing that the sacrifice of Christ didn't really have the meaning for them which it should have had is when they had divisions among themselves, or when they despised the church of God, as you read in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 18. Because in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18, Paul is saying, "First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it." And then he says in verse 22, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you in this." You see, God wasn't answering a lot of prayers for healing in such an environment, and so the Corinthians had weak and sick people amongst them, and some even had died. You see, the concept which James is conveying can also be found in other passages, like in the book of Acts chapter 2. Let's quickly turn to this one, in Acts 2, beginning in verse 42. And let's look at the environment of the early church, and let's see what God could do in such an environment. Acts 2, beginning in verse 42. It says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then, as a consequence, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." Verse 46. "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And again, look at the consequence. "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Also go to the book of John chapter 15, where we see another example of what God can do and will do if the environment in which he can work is right. John 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment," Jesus Christ is telling us, "that you love one another as I have loved you." Now what is going to happen if that's the case? Verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And of course, the words he has just talked about and is going to talk about is that we have to love one another as Christ has loved us. So if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Also go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You see, our daily lives, in this case the relationship between husband and wife, can determine whether God hears our prayers or not. The fervent prayer of a righteous couple in a harmonious, peaceful marriage availeth much. Likewise, as we already read in James 5:16, the fervent prayers for healing, prayed by righteous brethren in the Church of God, who live together in peace and harmony, who have eliminated all hatred and strife for and against each other, by having confessed to each other that they did each other wrong, and having obtained forgiveness from each other, such prayers avail much. So we see it's a two-way street. We are to go to our brother or our sister, telling him or her that we are truly sorry for what we did, and our brother or our sister is to forgive us upon our repentance. Only then will we have an atmosphere of peace and harmony in our congregations and of righteousness, because both parties did what they ought to do. Go with me in conclusion to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, Christ is telling us, if you bring your gift to the altar, and this could apply to all kinds of things, including even giving an offering today or sending in an envelope, and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, in the book of James, James is not saying that we should confess a sin against God to another person. Nor is he saying that we should confess our trespasses to the entire congregation. But he is saying that we should confess our trespasses to one another. That is, we should accept responsibility for our shortcomings and tell the other person whom we have trespassed against that we are truly sorry for our conduct. You see, the Living Bible translates James 5:16 in stating that we should admit those faults and trespasses to the offended person. And upon receipt of forgiveness from the other person, we will see harmony, peace, and love in the congregations, resulting in fervent prayers of righteous people and more healings of those who are sick.